Would you turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are some eyeglasses here. If they're yours, you can pick them up. Would anybody like them? I'll throw them out to you right now. No? They're not that bad, I don't suppose. Okay, they'll be up here anyway, just in case you remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee now. We'd ask Thee, dear Lord, that as we look at the Word of God and the implications to our own lives, we pray Thy blessing might be upon us. We trust Thee for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to go over again the how to choose a college. This is one of the most important issues in our church. I know it has caused some resentment toward me. And therefore, I think things need to be repeated over and over again. And I trust if I repeat certain principles over and over again, that folks might catch the principles and not just wait to hear if I have something negative to say about your favorite place. Now, I greatly want you to remember these four principles. The first principle is the principle of balance. And the balance is between these two things. It is between individual soul liberty and consideration. Individual soul liberty is can be found in any Baptist directive as one of the truths that Baptists live by. It means that each person has a right before God to not to have a pope over them. It means you have a right to choose. I don't want to rule your lives. But that's not the end of it. You see, when you are saved, the very day you get saved, you are placed in a body. Not to be selfish the rest of your life, but the day you get saved, you're placed in a body. Please look at that, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. What you have to remember is that the body that you were baptized into when you got saved is not one member, you, but many. God said that. I didn't say that. God said that. The body is not one member. It is many. So, you have individual soul liberty, but you also ought to consider the body. And therefore, your choice of a college or your choice of your child's college can affect others, and you ought to think about that. Therefore, you ought not to be totally self-centered, but you ought to be considerate. Now think on this situation. Do you think that the teachers that I handpicked, I said, these are people I want to teach in my school. You think the teachers that I handpicked 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I handpicked them, I hired them, I was the one that said, I want them to work for me. Do you think that the teachers that I handpicked after I preached and gave many powerful reasons why one should not send their child to Bob Jones, that it would have an effect on this church? Do you think that then when those teachers kind of let it be known to people that they were going to send their children to Bob Jones, do you think that they were setting an example? Were they setting an example? Would others say, oh my, pastor says that's not the place to go, but the teachers are going to send their children there. Now, were they considerate of me and they came to me and said, you know, we've got a real dilemma here? No, you're just here. They're going there. Is that considerate? Do you think that they were thinking of others? Now think on that. Were they thinking of others? Or was it, you know, only two things I could say is, you know, we don't care what pastor says, or we don't think about anything but ourselves. It's got to be one of those two things. You see, the Word of God says, for the body is not one member, but many. Whatever we do can affect others. You think they could have thought, well, you know, if I, a teacher, send my youngster to Bob Jones after the pastor said it's a danger to the local church, what will other members think and do? Do you think they thought that way? Or just ignored that? You think on that. You know, it's not the least bit kind and considerate after I give 10 powerful reasons why a school is a danger to our church to get up and announce at a banquet that you're going to go there. And oh, what a wonderful place. It's going to be just great. I know it's a great place. You know, do you know that when a thing like that happens, that's not even polite. Do you realize that? That's not even polite. I mean, if we weren't talking about Christians, if we weren't talking about God's people, it's not even polite. Now, I want to point out to you that night that happened, and I sat there and listened to Shannon say how wonderful Bob Jones was and that she was going there, I want to point out to you that I had the last word. And having the last word, I did not get up and embarrass her in front of her family. And who knows how many family were there that night. And I could have said, do you know, I just preached against that thing. And she got up and said, in effect, pastor, in your face. You see, I didn't get up and embarrass her. I was considerate of her, even though she was not considerate of me. Balance. Principle number one is in the local, whether it's schools or anything else, we're talking about schools, whether it's schools or anything else, there ought to be the balance between the fact that you have a right to the decisions that you do in your life, they're your right, but the Word of God also says the body is not one member, but many, and so we've got to be considerate of what our actions say to the rest of the body of Christ. That's principle number one. Principle number two are pluses and minuses that have to do with the college. Now, the last time I preached on the colleges, you know, I left the saying what I was going to say about the colleges till the last. And then I wondered, you know, maybe people didn't grasp all the principles that I taught first because all they were listening was say, come on, preacher, get to the college. I want to hear what you have to say about the college I like, you know. And maybe they forgot everything else. So this time I said, maybe I'll bring it on early. You know, I'll bring it on early, and then maybe they can get the rest of the principles after I brought it on early. Well, now, I want you to remember this. Last week, I asked Dr. Jasmine about the colleges. And because of his answers, I decided I thought I should speak on it again tonight. Now, I want you to remember this about Dr. Jasmine. I only asked Dr. Jasmine about his reservations about colleges. I didn't ask him to tell us what he thought was good about colleges. I just asked him what his reservations were. So what he had to say had to be negative because that's what I asked him to do. Just give us the negatives. Can you imagine how long it would have been if I would have said he had the positives? All right. And that's exactly the reason why I didn't. That is exactly the reason why I didn't get into that more. All right. So, therefore, I thought I wanted to give an overall view of the colleges, being he gave some negatives, and I'd make my comment on the negatives. The first college I asked him about was Ambassador Baptist. And if you really notice and boil it down, you know he didn't have too much negative to say about it. There wasn't any really strong negative point about Ambassador. He said, well, it doesn't belong to a local church, and Ron Comfort goes to some churches that aren't as strong, something I don't think is wrong to do necessarily unless they were associated with an association that was very bad, which I don't think he does. And so I think that is a good school, and it's still a number one with me. But here's what would upset me about Ambassador Baptist. There is one thing that could be upsetting. How would you like it, Mom, if your daughter came back from Ambassador Baptist and suddenly she said she's upset with you because you don't have convictions, because you don't have standards? And you know, that's a typical thing that a certain area of fundamentalists say when they have this wild belief that women can't wear pants. Of course, they never say they can't wear underpants, but they just say they can't wear pants. And so, you know, and that's the truth down there. That's what they believe. Now, I don't know how, I don't know, you know, how zealously they believe that at Ambassador, meaning I don't know whether they just, you know, work those girls so much that when the girls go back and see somebody wear pants, they think that they're not spiritual. But how would you like that, mother, if your daughter was acting that way, that now she's really got convictions about this thing and that you have a spiritual problem? You wouldn't like that. That's a danger with Ambassador. And I want to point out that I believe there's a danger in every school that you go to, and you hope that your young people don't want to go to swallow hook, line, and sinker. And it might have a lot to do with you, parent, how you stand toward the school too, whether you're going to give a blanket approval. All right, that's Ambassador Baptist. Northland Baptist. Two significant things surprised me about Northland Baptist. Number one, that it was owned by this rich guy. I didn't know anything about that. I don't know whether that's good or bad. I mean, it's everything to me would be better if it stems out of a local church. But nevertheless, that's not how most of them are going to be. That surprised me. I don't know whether that's good or bad. But one thing that really bothered me was Dr. Jasmine's testimony that Roland McCune was there in the summer as, I guess, a visiting professor in the summer, gave a course, and in the course, he took a position on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was about the same as John MacArthur's position. And without getting into the ins and outs of that, I would say this. I want to check into this. I want to see more about it. If Northland did not repudiate that position, I would say I don't want anything to do with Northland anymore. They don't repudiate that because that's a position that compromises and compromises with all of the ungodly unbeliever and higher critics from years ago who called what we believe a slaughterhouse religion because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if they don't repudiate, they repudiate one or two ways. Either they say to me, you know, it never happened. Dr. McCune never said that, never taught that. That's one way to repudiate. Another way is to say, yes, he did taught it, and we wouldn't have it here ever again. They'd have to repudiate it, or I would not recommend that college in any wise. I would say that it was not going in a good direction. The third college I asked him about was Maranatha. Now, Dr. Jasmine's assessment of Maranatha and the King James Version, I am not ready to accept, and I'll tell you why. Weigh this. I have spoken personally to the head of the Bible department at Maranatha. He spoke to an ex-teacher. The ex-teacher said he was fired because he believed in the King James Version. I do not totally accept that that could be the whole reason why I want to check it out further. But I spoke personally with the present head of the Bible department. Dr. Jasmine did not say he did. I have. I asked him what his position was on the text. And before I told him what my position was, he outlined to me exactly what my position is. He outlined, he said, this is what I believe, and that's exactly what I believe is what Larry Oates believes. Now, that's not true of every single person who's in Maranatha, and that's a bit of a problem, but that kind of inconsistency is always found in Christian schools. There's a lot of good to be said about that school. Aren't you kids glad? You know, sitting right here in front of me, four of them, you know, and then there's others, you know, it's got a little bit throughout here too. You know, Susan said, told me to say these things, or there would be reprisals. Now, I guess everybody knows that's never the truth with me. There's a lot of good things to be said about the school. And so I think it's a good school. Music people were very impressive to me. And I say all these things, I want you to know, I say all these things knowing that when Rima was having a problem out there, Mrs. Jackson was a volleyball coach, and who knows what else she is. I didn't mean that in a derogatory way. That's all I know she is the volleyball coach. She spoke against me and downed me to Rima. Nevertheless, I still think that it is a good school, a school that you can go to. And there's much to be had there. The next school that he spoke of was Pensacola. And I don't know if you would have noticed, but I felt that his assessment of Pensacola was very close to what my assessment of Pensacola is. And so I won't get into all of those things, but I want to say this. You know, if you're going to send somebody somewhere for Bible, you know, I learned some things, I made some comparisons. For instance, I'll give you a comparison of two young men, one young man that came out of Maranatha and one that came out of Pensacola. Both of them ours, both of them fine young men. I'm talking about Todd Sawtelle and Mark Brooks. And I have had many discussions with Mark about theology and sometimes some arguments, friendly arguments, which is all right. You know, theologians can do that. And I've also spent some time talking to Todd and asking Todd many theological questions. And you know what? Todd could not answer most of the questions that I asked him. And the reason he couldn't is because one's a Baptist school and one's an interdenominational school that tries to get all the, you know, get all the sugar coating. It's not because somebody said, hey, Todd's dumb and Mark's smart. Well, Mark might be smart, but Todd's plenty smart too. It was the training. And the real good Bible training is not to be found in interdenominational schools because they have too many people to satisfy, where the Baptists get right in and say, this is it, 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 and this is what the other guys believe or don't believe also. So I always feel that that's important to know. Now, I want to also say this. Our guys have been the most outstanding in Pensacola. Do you know that? Ours have. They want our guys. When they want a representative to go around this country and represent their school, who do they pick? They pick our guys. Boom, Todd graduates, they've got him going, you know? And Billy calls him, tells him he's interested in something else, you know, the insurance business wasn't working out for him up here. Boom, they take him right away. And 2 or 3 years ago, I can't remember when it was, 2 or 3 years ago, when they were going to take on 3 preacher boys to be only 3 out of the whole school. We're not talking about a school with 10 kids. We're talking about lots and lots of kids. They take 3, or two of them are ours. You know, that says a lot for us, doesn't it? That says a whole lot for us. That says a lot for the training that our young people get right here. And you want to really think on all the implications of that besides. All right. Then the last school I asked him about was Clearwater Christian College. And you know, I did the same thing up in Plymouth as I did here. And when Dr. Jasmine was through up in Plymouth, you know, he had said that the Clearwater of the liberal arts schools, he rated it the best. And after it was all over, I went to the back, as I always do, in Plymouth. And my buddy Pearson came by and said to me, how much do you pay him to say that? You didn't depend on Pearson always, you know, to have some sweet nothing to say to me. You know what's really significant about him making that statement? You know what's really significant about him saying that? Is he's a BJ grad. He's not only a BJ grad, but he's been in the BJ mucky mucks big time stuff for years and years and years. I mean, that guy must be at least as old as me. He must be. I know he is. Because, you know, I mean, he said at about a certain time in his life, he said he heard Dr. DeHaan preach a message. I heard him say that. It was over Chet's. He said that. See, that dated him. You know, because I know, I mean, I heard Dr. DeHaan speak also in the last year of his life. I think it was 1963 that he spoke, or 62 or 63. So, I mean, he's been around. I guess he's blackballed now in the last year or two because he has some things to say about BJ, that they've had new evangelicals there and things like that. So it was significant that he was to say that about Clearwater. And I'll just say this, I would not have considered Clearwater Christian College a few years ago. I would not have even considered it just a few years ago. And the reason is because I knew the president, and the president was Arthur Steele. I'm not saying that he is a bad man, but he was a Presbyterian. And I couldn't be happy sending someone there. But then after he retired, Dr. Huster came in. Now, Dr. Huster had been hired by Maranatha, went to work for Maranatha. Derek told me all this, so I mean, I'm assuming it's fairly reliable. Dr. Huster went to work for Maranatha, was there for a semester when President Reagan appointed him to the Department of Education, just a little bit below William Bennett, and he is a strong leader. He was with Bob Jones for a long time and has some pretty high standards, and so with that in mind, I thought and mentioned maybe a year or two ago that that might be a school we may look into and may consider. I always favor good Baptist college. I always favor good Baptist college over an interdenominational college like Clearwater Christian College. It could never be my first choice. But all of them are going to have some drawbacks as far as I'm concerned. All Christian colleges. I don't recommend any of them without drawbacks. He mentioned some others. I said, are there any others? Well, it was Fairhaven. You know, Fairhaven is out in Indiana. I have a great respect for the head of Fairhaven, Roger Volkland. I have great respect for him for two reasons. I'll tell you why. Because he put his faith on the line and went to jail for his faith back in the 70s. I respect that. And also, he's right out there real close to Jack Hiles, the God of many people, and he took a position against them and took a great deal of heat and flack for that. So I respect him for that. His school is extremely tight. It's extremely strict. It would make me look like a sweetheart. And so I figured you wouldn't want to go there. So I never mentioned it very much, you know? And you're probably coming back saying, everybody's unspiritual because, you know, they're wearing pants here. And, you know, that is the one thing. I mean, I don't know much about this Maryland Baptist College. I don't know much about that. But I do know that Dr. Jasmine and probably others don't believe that women should wear pants. And I didn't ask him about whether that was underpants or not. I keep throwing that in, you know, so people might, it may ring a bell sometimes somewhere with people. But, you know, I would hate to see people go there and everything be wonderful about it and come back. And you know, there are shallow people who love to make it spiritual whether you can wear slacks when you're working in a garden or whether you can wear slacks when you're playing basketball, whether you can wear slacks when you're playing volleyball or culottes or what have you. You understand there are drawbacks to every college. If you realize that, and you don't say, because now it's my college, it's wonderful, it will be better off. Another one he mentioned, but he did not mention publicly, he mentioned to us, was Foundation College by Dr. Spence. Don't know anything about it, except that it's in Georgia. I don't suppose anybody would want to be in Georgia. That might be the only problem there. All right, four principles in choosing a college. Number one is balance. Number two, the pluses and minuses. Number three is priority. On what basis do I rate colleges? And I would hope that that you might think on the same kind of basis to rate colleges that I do. You know, Dick, I'm getting thirsty here. This college is having a drying effect on my throat. I appreciate any help you could give. All right, priorities. We're going to try to be biblical and look at a college. What do I look for in a college? First of all, the stand of the college. And probably the first thing I look for there is the stand on ecclesiastical separation. Do they follow the Bible in the area of separation? If they don't, I just reject them right away. And so I reject tons of what are called Christian schools really quickly because they don't do what the Word of God tells them to do. They're not ecclesiastically separate. And those kind of schools we call new evangelical schools. And we learned an awful lot about that. If you had the endurance to listen last week, that was essentially, Moody didn't know he was a new evangelical, but he was. And it was essentially why he probably lost his sons to eternal hellfire. You say, how can you say that? How do you know? Because of the apparent stand that they took as soon as he died. They took a stand that had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to do with Christ deniers and not the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I wouldn't trade winning millions of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ for my two sons. I wouldn't do it. And the fact is that he didn't have any problem thinking well and having guys around who are of the higher critics who do not believe in a virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the inspiration of Holy Scripture and the deity of Christ and so forth. Excuse me. And because of that, everything went down the tubes, and perhaps his sons helped it go down the tubes. Do you know what a new evangelical is? A new evangelical is someone, is a saved person who's not afraid to mix with lost preachers. Saved preachers, not afraid to mix with lost people. It doesn't have anything to do with you being at work, standing next to a lost person at work. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with them working together, like in Billy Graham Crusades, where Billy Graham preaches supposedly the gospel, and guys and Catholics sit there, and modernists who don't believe in the deity of Christ sit there, and they all look like they're Christians together. It's a new evangelical. Well, there are lots of colleges fall into that category. Wheaton College, when I was growing up, the most famous Christian college, Wheaton College. You got Taylor and Gordon and PCB and King's, and boy, you could just name tons of them, all different kinds of stripes. So there's lots of them out there consider themselves Christian colleges, but when they're broken down on ecclesiastical separation, everything else is going to go sooner or later, and probably sooner than later. The second priority I look for is personal separation, including, you know, what are their standards on dating? Now, in the area of personal separation, I am going to say this. Most of the larger colleges that we recommend here, they're not large, but larger for us, kind of let their kids go to the arts. You know, not the movies, but they go to the arts. You know what I mean? Some kind of thing they call the arts. I would hope it wouldn't be, you know, the ballet with all the fairies and stuff like that. But, you know, that's some kind of, and I just say this, I'm not going to get into this, you know, but I draw the line here, you know, and they draw the line here, and there may not be wicked people, but I don't like the fact that they draw the line where they do, on letting their youngsters go to the arts, thinking they're getting more culture. What people need today is not more culture, but more Bible. All right, the third area is King James. We'd prefer that they're strong on a King James and a received text, and more of them are catching on to this as you go along. You know, 15 years ago, Pensacola did not take a stand on the King James. They were teaching the other stuff. Now they are taking a stand on the King James. We are happy for that. That puts them ahead of some other people in that matter. Another priority that I have is that they be a Baptist college. I think they're going to get a better education if they are a Baptist college. And then fifth, we have course of study. This is in priorities. What you're looking for in a college is your course. What course of study am I going to take? Now, this is not the first priority, but if you can get it, the course of study, without losing something important, then you can go for it. Never take course of study over spiritual. You see, you might say, well, you know, boy, I think that Maryland Baptist College really sounds great, but they just don't have any course of study that I am interested in. I'm interested in doing something. I mean, that's all right. Now, he mentioned that you might go there for a year, and that might be good and get you a good basis before you go on somewhere else, and that's not a bad idea either. You might say, you know, they just don't have the course of study I want. Now, if every other college was terrible, I'm going to lead you down the path to destruction, and you ought to go there and not worry about your course of study, please God, and not worry about the rest. Now, I mean, this is the decision that we had to face when we were thinking of Rebecca going to college, and I knew from Robert Regal that the voice teacher at Clearwater was the best there was in any of the colleges in the country. I knew that. He told me that. And apparently, that has come to pass, and Rebecca has been pleased and thinks she's made some improvement and learned some things there. She got a chance to play. I might have said this before, but she got a chance to play for a trio that was made up of her voice teacher, Billingsley, who was a bass. Dad, you got to have him up there. Well, maybe I will. Robert Regal, baritone, him probably singing the lead, and some other fellow I don't know that she said was a great tenor, as great a tenor as those guys were, baritone's bass. That must have been some trio. Now, at any rate, I thought if she could have a year or two a voice with the best, you know, that would probably do it. She would probably have accomplished in voice most of what was necessary. If need be, we could always transfer her to go. That's what I had to say. Would it be a spiritual risk for her to go? I questioned them for a long time. I spent hours on the phone with the people down there and talked to them, asking them questions about the school to determine whether that was the case or not, whether it would be too risky to send her there. And what I thought was it was pretty much in the same class with the other Christian colleges that I named. I will say this. Dr. Jasmine rates it higher than I rate it overall. Four principles in choosing a college, then. Number one is balance. Number two, pluses and minus. Number three, priorities. Number four, Attitude. Here's where the devil gets God's people. Oh my, here is where the devil gets God's people. Attitude and the Christian colleges. It's just set up there. It's sitting out there as a great stumbling block in a local church. I'm going to explain what I mean. Now notice, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The verse says, somebody in a local body, in a local church, saying, you know, I'm not of the body, you know, I'm an island unto myself. No, that's not true. God's saying, that's not true. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. They're all part of the body. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What is he talking about? He said, you know what? You are one thing. You're an eye and you're an ear and you're all working together. The eyes and the ears are working together and all in one body doing the Lord's work. You don't separate off and say, you know, I mean, I don't, ears are ugly, eyes are pretty, and you know, that's it. I don't want any part of this. You see what God is saying here? Saying one body, we're all members, we all appreciate each other. Unity. The unity of the body. Turn over to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. First chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verse 10. So actually in verse 12 he's following up on something he wrote in chapter 1, verse 10 and on. Now I beseech you, brethren, verse 10, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He says, I don't want you to be divided over anything. You are one body. You're not to be divided over anything, and you're all to have the same judgment. But this I say, verse 12, but this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I of Christ. They were divided. He was told they were divided. Someone's saying, you know, I'm following Paul, and I'm following Apollos, and I'm following Peter, and I'm following Christ. He had four divisions that he named of people who said, I'm following this one. You see, it was a divided body, and he is beseeching them not to be divided, not to have divisions. And he's looking at it from all different standpoints, not to say, I am following this one, or that I am the eye, and that's the ear, and I, as the eye, I do what I want, and I don't want anything to do with the ear. He's saying there must be unity in the local body, and not to say we're following this one or we're following that one. And you know, that is the problem with the Christian colleges in the local churches today. It's not that people are following various different evangelists that come through, but they are have a tendency to follow the college that they send their kids to, because once they send their kid to, then they automatically think that is a place that is wonderful, and it has no flaws, and no one better say anything about our college, sis, boom, bah. Now, you know these traveling groups? You know these traveling groups? Oh, there's called ensembles, and all these colleges have traveling groups and ensembles, and they go to the churches all over the country. Every church that will have them, they go in to those churches. And you know, I'm going to take you on a little tour right now. But you know, I'm to take you on this tour. I'm going to make you a WASP. That's not a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, a WASP. That's a regular WASP, you know, with these peripheral vision eyes, you know. And the WASP is going to go visiting the churches. You're going to visit the churches along with the ensembles, all right? I want you to go on and visit many of these churches and see some different ensembles. I want to see all the parents and all the kids when the ensembles come in. And as a WASP, you know, you're going to play it smart as a WASP, and you're not going to get down near where anybody can swat you or hit you. You know, you're going to stay up on the you're going to stay up on the wall. You're going to ride home in cars, you know, and you're going to stay out of the way, and you're not going to buzz. You're just going to watch, and you're just going to listen, and you're going to get in the house, and you're going to listen. And so the first place you go to is Pious Baptist Church in Judgmental, Illinois. And now, in that church, there are 30 parents. There are 10 BJ parents, there are 10 Pensacola parents, and there are 10 Maranatha parents. Now, what do I mean by the parents? I mean that they either have somebody graduated from there, or they're presently attending one of those schools. Now, Pensacola arrives to sing in Pious Baptist Church, you know, and you were listening to it all. And, you know, you get in the car and you go home, and then you buzz from house to house all over to all of these different 30 families. And you listen to them in the car as they're driving home after Pensacola's done their thing. And you listen to them in the house. And you know what you find out? You find out that 20 out of the 30 are fault-finding about everything about the Pensacola group. You know, the Bob Jones people don't like him, and the Maranatha people don't like him. But you know, you get into the house where the Pensacola people, and they think, oh, that was the blessing of the year for us, you know. And then, you know, the Maranatha, I mean, ambassador arrives at the same church and does their thing, you know. And now you don't have 20 of the families fault finding, you have 30 of the families fault. They're all fault finding. Or the dresses were too long, or the songs were too somber, or the songs were too lively, or they had the wrong kind of lilt, or the guy preached this way and he shouldn't have named this, or he shouldn't have done this, you know, and they just take him apart. That's what happens. Why? Because your little sweetie does not go to that place. So that place can't be good because you, the eye or the ear, did not choose it, you see. That's how it works. That's exactly how it works. And boy, I'll tell you, we can be marvelous critics, you know. Dresses can be too long. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's so out of style. They can be too short, you know. And it'd probably never be too short because these colleges know that everybody's out there looking for that. You know, it's possible, and many people here know, that Kent didn't like the group from Clearwater when they were out at his church. I mean, he told me that. I suppose if he told me that, he didn't say I had to keep it a secret. He didn't lie. So I didn't want to evaluate it. In fact, you'll get a chance to evaluate a Clearwater group with my daughter in it, because they're going to be here on June 22nd. And they're going to be here with the president of the college. And he's going to speak. Now, if a group comes here, I tell them certain things that you can't do. When they give testimonies, they can't get up and say, oh, it's just been such a blessing to be at Clearwater College. See, I already said that. If they can't say that, you know, you'll be looking at them and say, hey, they aren't keeping the agreement, you know. And the same thing with the president, that he can't get up, do that. I tell them they can bring all their stuff, so you can pick up their stuff free and not have to send away for it. But they can bring all their stuff. But I don't want that on the, I don't want the pulpit a place to, you know, be presenting the colleges. Now, when a group comes to the church, it really should give a better impression of the school than is really true. Do you know that? Well, you never, 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 absolutely never want to judge where you're going to send your child by listening to the traveling group that comes into a church. Never do that. But you also ought not to have the spirit of Corinth. What's the spirit of Corinth? The spirit of Corinth was one says, I'm of this, I'm of this, I'm of this. I don't like the other guys because I'm of this one. You know, try to judge fairly, even when your child's going somewhere else. I mean, wouldn't that be just marvelous for you to do that? But it's not a good way to judge a college, you know? You can't judge a college good or bad by the traveling group. You know why? Did you ever think about it? Because that traveling group is the cream of the crop. That's the cream of the crop. You don't know how many bad ones are back at that college, how many good ones are back at the college. You don't know. They send out their best representatives. But also, here's another thing. These kids are traveling together, stuffed in a van or stuffed in a bus, stuffed in different people's houses for months. And the cream of the crop can have a bad day. You know, do you ever have a bad day? Do you ever yell at your spouse? Yell at your children? Say something you shouldn't say? They could probably do that, couldn't they? They could be having a bad day when they're at a certain place. Somebody say, oh, I don't like their attitude. Maybe they didn't like their attitude that day. You know, we have to have the right attitude toward Christian colleges. We need to be fair, number one. No divisions. You need to be loyal to Jesus and then the local church. That's what you need to be loyal to. You need to see colleges correctly. Now get this. Colleges will love me for saying this. See colleges for what they are. You know what they are? Defective servants. That's what they are. Defective servants. You know, they'd love that, wouldn't they? If you want, send my tape out if they can listen long enough to get to this place. That's what they are. They're defective servants. You know, isn't it something? People will say that there is no perfect church, but why shouldn't they think there are no perfect colleges? If people act like they're perfect colleges, you know what? Because they're not there. It's easy to love them because you're not there. You know, colleges can't compare with local churches because colleges need to have people and they want to have doctors, you know. More doctors you get on, the more impressive it is for everybody. Get those doctors, and sometimes those doctors are Calvinists, or sometimes, you know, those doctors have funny beliefs, but hey, let's get them in because we have a doctor, we get strong, we're strong another, but we can take this guy in and pretty soon they're taking somebody else in, and you know, they're defective servants. At the best. That's why they compromise. That's one reason why they compromise. The other reason why they compromise is just simply lack of guts. That's what it is. Just lack of guts. Because if they do the right thing, you know, they might lose some churches and they don't want to do that. It would shut everything down. Attitude. The attitude we ought to have is we are buying an education. But we're not buying everything that the college believes. That ought to be our attitude. We're buying an education. I know that doesn't fit into the sis pum ba of a college spirit, but that ought to be our attitude as Christians. You know, there are going to be flaws in these colleges. Every single one of them, as far as I'm concerned, has flaws. Odd beliefs. Wrong stands in some areas. When you go there, Understand that. Get the value from the college, but understand that. Don't look at a college as the Pope. But that college is the one that's right and knows everything, you know, and you got to follow that college. That's exactly what Bob Jones is all about. Bob Jones demands that. All the Bob Jones pastors, you know, maybe not all of them, you know, there's some who have woke up like Dr. Jasmine, but you know, there's a host of Bob Jones pastors all over this country. They wait for what Bob Jones says. When he says it, that's policy in that church, right? Am I right? Okay. God established the local church. He called it the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, the colleges are probably upset with that. We have allegiance to Christ and the local church. If you have that kind of attitude, then we won't have those divisions. Attitude. Number one, no divisions. Number two, you're buying an education. Number three, not rebellious. This is the attitude to have. Not rebellious. I get the impression... Would you please note what I say? I get the impression. If you notice, I usually use words very, very carefully. And I'm going over this because if I didn't go over this, I know what people would say. You see, when I say I get the impression, you can't say, Pastor, that's not true. He was wrong about that. Do you understand that? Because if I say I get the impression, that's the impression I got. If I was left with that impression, that's the impression I got. Which means that even if it was wrong, it was still the impression that I got. I get the impression that there are some in our schools, in our school, and maybe parents too, who just do not want to go or, you know, where I recommend. Where the very fact that the pastor recommends these schools makes them feel like, I gotta find another school. I get that impression. I really get that impression. Listen, you cut away all the excuses, and if that's what's really behind your decision, you're going to pay a price. You know, that's the worst possible reason to make a decision why to go to a school, isn't it? Isn't it the worst, a negative decision to say, oh, I'm happy I didn't go to a place where pastor recommended, you know? And you're going to wake up someday and say, whatever did I do? And why did I ever do what I did? Not because something was good for you, but just so you could have the feeling, you know, I'm one person who's not going to knuckle to pastor. Well, you don't have to knuckle. Now listen, why do I say things like that? You know, college should be one of the great fun times of your life. Do you know that? It should be one of the great fun times of your life. Really? You'll go there, most of you will go there, I trust you won't have children to worry about. You won't even have a spouse to worry about. You'll just be thinking about them. You'll be imagining how great they're going to be. You won't have found out that they're not that great already. It's one of the great times of your life. You know, you'll be dating. You know, it's just the tremendous things about college. But listen, if you go to a college that does not have your beliefs and you've got to battle about those beliefs just to keep fighting it off, then it's not as much fun. It's more fun when you don't have to battle that stuff. And if you have to battle, some people who battle are going to succumb. And they're going to fall to it. And that's not good, you see. I'm trying to line you up with colleges in which you won't have to battle, in which you can have the best possible time and be the best for you in the long run. That's all I'm trying to do. Attitude. Number one, no divisions. Number two, buying an education. Number three, not rebellious. And how about this? Dare I mention this? Dare I say this for attitude? How about this for attitude, if I might be so bold? Trust your pastor? Just a little? Trust your pastor? Seems to be extremely hard for some people. People that don't trust me one bit. Yeah, call other people out of state. You know, ask them about clear water, and, you know, if it's this or if it's that, you know. And Dr. Jasmine comes along and says a clear water is pretty good, except his say-so. Except that he said so. Why will I accept that he says so? Because I said he knows a lot of stuff about this. And all kinds of things are circulated about clear water as if I've done some awful inconsistent thing. You know, I have heard any number of times by I don't know how many people have kind of let this filter through to me that either Rebecca was in a National Council of Churches church, or that they permitted, that Clearwater permitted kids to go to National Council of Christian Churches, or maybe American Baptist Church, or something of that nature. I heard that. And, you know, where'd that come from? Listen, when you don't have the facts straight, you're lying. Really? Think about that. When you start saying something and you don't have the facts straight, you're lying. You really need to think about that. Especially if it reflects on somebody else and can hurt somebody else. Now, I kind of figured out, after a while, I figured out how that came about. It came about because somewhere, sometime, somebody heard that they either visited a church, and the church was in the American Council of Christian Churches. And people said, oh, you know, they allow their kids to go to the National Council of Churches. The pastor preaches against them. I mean, what can be more inconsistent than that, you know? Huh. Well, apparently they've gone to some place where there's the American Council of Christian Churches. And, you know, I got to explain what this is all about. Because, you see, the National Council of Christian Churches was started by and represented by men who denied the virgin birth and all the rest of the important things of the Christian faith, the blood of Christ and all the rest of those things. They started the National Council of Churches, they got the World Council of Churches, it's become a monster. The American Baptists are in there. Maybe somebody heard that, it sounded like American Baptist. Well, those guys who started all of that National Council of Churches, those wicked men, years before had great fights with good men in their denominations. And the good men left. Some of the men, like Carl McIntyre, got defrocked from the Presbyterian Church. Others left the Presbyterian Church. And when Carl McIntyre left the Presbyterian, when he was defrocked, he started the Bible Presbyterian Church. Others that came out of the Presbyterian Church started Bible churches. And the same thing happened in Baptist denominations. When Carl McIntyre not only started the Bible Presbyterian Church, but in opposition to the bad guys, to make this as simple as possible, in opposition to the bad guys, Carl McIntyre started the American Council of Christian Churches. And that some of those churches are supporters of Clearwater College, because Dr. Steele used to be put in the American Council of Christian Churches. So they were churches with strong ecclesiastical separated stands. I've never thought that much. I don't want to be part of anything. So, and I've never said much to you about it. I never taught you what the American Council of Christian Churches was. But that's what's down there. It's just the opposite of what people think. Now, dating. I'm trying to evaluate this situation with Clearwater. And I'm trying to be exact when I evaluate. I wonder if I'm the only one who tries to be exact on these matters. You know, you can hear all kinds of things. I heard this year, this fall, Maranatha Baptist allows holding hands. Well, I found out that wasn't true. That doesn't mean that some of them probably don't hold hands. Don't you look around like that. See, then everybody's looking at you. See, they're looking at you, you know? Hey? Don't look at them. Just ask them point blank. Do you? You know? And say, if you tell me you do, I'm going to call them up. You know? Well, it's not true they don't allow it. But some of them probably do it. Well, I did talk with Clearwater today. I did talk with them today. And they do allow holding hands at Clearwater. And I don't like that. I still believe in a verse, good for man not to touch a woman. And I think there's some significance there without getting all over that one. But you know, I said, well, is it all right if they put their arms around them? Oh no, if they do and they get caught, they're going to be in trouble. I said, how about boys and girls going to the beach? Oh no, they can't. As a matter of fact, we got people that patrol the beach when the kids might be there to make sure that everything is going right. Does everything always go right? I don't suppose so. You know, it can be unstoppable. Let's get in the real world. It can be unstoppable if kids want to sin bad enough. Do you know that? Maranatha kids, a few years ago, got caught going off to a motel. Two couples, I think. And they got caught and they got bounced. A BJ student told me, he said, you know, he says, yeah, it's tight, all right. He says, but boy, he says, when they get that, when the break comes and they get off into the cars and they're going home or on the bus, or he says, watch out. It's like a time bomb. It's probably true with some of them, and probably some of them are going to say, you know, I'm going to keep this standard in my life. Well, anyway, the same person told me, yes, since Dr. Ustra took over Clearwater, he has tightened things up. Whether he's going to tighten things up more, I don't know, but I intend to speak to him when he's here. Now, how about a little trust for your pastor? I'm watching for your souls. I've been observing things for over 40 years. And I know how to think, to reason things out. Let me explain one more thing. Some people have questioned, I don't know how many times, how that I could not mention or honor Shannon when she graduated from Bob Jones, and yet did honor Aaron, who went to a secular culinary school. I'm going to go over it again. But sometimes I wonder if people can just trust and say, you know, he's trying to do the right thing. Here's why I do what I do. Number one, I am against Bob Jones because of this scripture here, right here. This is the biggest reason, not because they have a few flaws. But 1 Corinthians talks about unity, and I believe that Bob Jones can split a church like this faster than you could blink an eye. Where do you get that, Pastor? You know, you're just making an imagination. Let me tell you a little bit of story. We opened this building in 1979, and I invited Dr. Jordan to come here from Calvary Baptist to come here to preach for 4 days. He stayed at my house with me. We spoke about any number of things. I remember this conversation vividly. I'll tell you why. Because I'm with a pastor who at the time might have been 53 years old. I might be wrong about that. He was about 50. That's not terribly old. I'm 54 and just starting to get strong. Thank the Lord. And we're riding down the road, Winona Road. We're headed for the blinker. I remember the place exactly. You know why? Because I don't know what led up to this, but suddenly, you know, within the conversation, he says, I can't wait until I retire as the pastor of Calvary Baptist. Now, you remember a thing like that. He's 53 years old. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to travel for the church. We're going to try to start a new church. We're going to do this. I can't wait. Well, you don't like it. And this is what he told me. And now we're right about at the blinker light on 104. I mean, this is how vividly I remember this. He said, parents of the Bob Jones kids in my church are bleeding me to death. They're killing me. They're ripping the church. He says, they know my position on these various things about Bob Jones University. And every time Bob Jones has a banquet in the area, they undercut me. They get all the other people they can and get them to go to these things. They're always working. They're always working on others to love Bob Jones and to be against me. And it's just dividing and ripping, and it's tearing my heart out. You don't forget a thing like that from someone that I, you know, had always thought, this guy's a powerful, powerful guy. You see, therefore, Bob Jones, public enemy number one around here, because I learned that lesson from him. I said to myself, I don't want to get so many Bob Jones graduates in our church that that kind of thing starts to happen. Now, we have some. And they're good people. They're good people because they put Jesus first and a local church, you know, and put Bob Jones where they belong. You know, I'm still kind of surrounded by Bob Jones people. Like Pastor Brooks, you know, Chet Coolis is over there. He's in the school, you know. Ramona teaches in our Sunday school up there. We appreciate her. And, you know, I even invite guys like Dr. Jasmine to come here. You know, so think about that. It's not just blind bias on my part. You see, that I have a fear of what that can do to a local church. Now, I'm not afraid of Plymouth State College is going to split our church. I'm not afraid University of New Hampshire is going to divide our church, or some secular school is going to divide our church. It's going to be some school like that that can divide your church. Now, in spite of my recommendations and reasons, you see, Shannon still went off to Bob Jones saying, hey, you know, I mean, it's great. Never said, you know, I know Pastor has some reservations about this. Never had any humility about the whole situation. You know, I am not going to honor people for doing the opposite of my wishes. I'm not going to do that. Does anybody think that that's what you're supposed to do? Lay over and play dead, Pastor. We'll like you a whole lot better. You see, I don't really want BJ people in our church. Though I'll give them a chance. I'll always give them a chance to come in and let them see that the Lord is first, you know. And the way you know that is they're not always talking about BJ. That's, you know, they'll know the Lord is first, and the local church is a place of loyalty, and Bob Jones is someplace down in South Carolina. Now, I want to throw this in for whoever's going to tell Shannon about this. Last night after I preached this, you know, Vincent said to me, you know, Shannon, she really changed a lot. She married a guy from Pensacola, and her attitude is a whole lot different. If it's really a whole lot different, you know what a really, you know what an attitude should be like? She could give me a call, or she could come and say, you know, Pastor, I'm sorry I offended you. I did that with Dr. Jordan in the early 70s. You know why? You know why I say that? Because I want to let you know, I wouldn't say to a person that should do that if I wouldn't do that myself. It takes a little bit of humility. I went to Dr. Jordan in the early 70s. I said, you know, back in 1970, when the people left your church, I didn't leave his church. When the people left his church and I came down into that area, I joined with those people and I listened to him rip you day in and day out. And I didn't say a word. I mean, I didn't know whether it's true or not, but I didn't say a word. And I said, I shouldn't have done that. I should have come and asked you. I said, I'm sorry. He accepted my apology. You know, when you really want to be right with God, you get things right. Apologies don't cost anything, unless you got a whole ton of pride. Yeah, what about Aaron? He went to some secular culinary school. You know what? I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, you want to be a blessing to your people. I wanted to encourage him. I wanted to show him some kindness. I hope to see him come along. That maybe if we did a thing like that, maybe he'd feel a little more at home and get into things and, you know, and have a love for God's things and a love for us and so forth. You know, I've never been against trade schools. I don't think there's anything wrong with going to trade school. Mike went to trade school. Hope he's doing well because he went to a trade school. But, you know, he stayed around here, stayed around a local church. But listen, when you send your kid to a secular university and you put him in a dormitory with the lost, it is a great risk.
It's a huge risk, and it's a risk that I would think that most parents, if they knew how much of a risk it was, wouldn't want to take. Could you say, my kid could make it through? My kid's strong enough to make it through the dormitories in a secular college. Could you say that? If you did, you'd be making a horrible mistake. You know why? Because the Bible says pride cometh before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall. You're setting up for a fall just by saying you can make it through. I don't know if we could make it through. But all the stuff that happens in those dormitories, and you see it year after year, it's a great risk. But you know what? I evaluate everyone. I evaluate and try to do what's best for them. And, you know, I saw that Aaron was floundering, and I hope to encourage him. Am I a bad guy for doing that? It obviously didn't work, but at least I tried. Before God, I know that. Do you know that Almighty God put me here? And He entrusted you to me. The Lord trusts you with me. Maybe you could trust me a little bit too. You know, I like to think it's the Lord's will that Rebecca went to Clearwater Christian College. But you know, here's the last thing I want to say about colleges. It's not a marriage. It may lead to it, so you got to watch out. But it's not a marriage. You can bail out after a semester. You can bail out after 2 years. You can bail out after 3 years. You can't do that in a marriage, by the way. But you can do that. It's not a marriage. And if you make a mistake, you can correct a mistake unless you got too much pride. That's the last attitude. You can always transfer. Attitudes. No divisions. Buying an education. Not rebellious. Trust the pastor. It's not a marriage. That's not the four principles. The four principles, I hope you'll incorporate these in your life. Here they are. Number one, balance. You balance your right to choose with consideration for others. Two, you weigh the pluses and minuses of a college. Three, you look at the priorities when you evaluate a college. And then four, your attitude in the whole matter. Can you remember and put those principles into practice? And have principles instead of personal preference. Prejudice. Now listen. I thought I'd let the men and the boys, if they want to ask me any question about any of these colleges, you can shoot right now. And then I got an announcement here, or two. Listen, while you're thinking of that, I'm going to give an announcement I forgot to give last night. Derek said to me, do I have to write it down? I said, we'll find out. And you know, when I picked this thing up, I remembered Derek's announcement, and I said, as soon as I'm done this, I'm going to give Derek's announcement, and as soon as I was done this, I forgot Derek's announcement. You know? But this time, I'm going to give Derek's announcement before I give this announcement. And Derek's announcement is that Snoopy is the Thursday, the 26th, at 7:30? And Saturday, the 28th, at 6:30. That's it. Those are when you can go to Snoopy. Those are the time. If you were planning to go on Friday, the 27th, call me from Concord and I'll suggest a restaurant that you may enjoy. All right. And I'll say this too, in case you got a question, I'll read this now, give you a chance if you want to ask a question. Dear parents and friends of CCS, you will understand after I read this why I forgot the rest, you know. Soon our 1994 yearbooks will arrive. This year we are taking orders in advance and ordering a discount if you buy before, offering a discount if you buy before June 1st. These yearbooks cost us over $30 a piece. Doesn't that stagger your imagination? But it's true. They've been running in the red for years, you know, and I told them we can't keep doing this, you know. If we want yearbooks, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, we got to pay for it. That's what we got to do. The yearbook staff, with the help of our advertisers, can cover part of the cost. The price you pay not only buys you an important memory of this year, but also helps to support our yearbook program and our school. Please support us by buying a 1994 yearbook, even if you have never bought a yearbook before. If you have more than one child in our school, you could consider buying more than one yearbook. Buy a lot of yearbooks. And you need a lot of yearbooks. Do you know that? Because they get beat up. And people write silly things in them. And then if you have many yearbooks, what happens is 5 years later, they can throw out the silly things and write other things in them and pretend that they were mature when they wrote those things. It's important to buy many yearbooks. Please remember that. The price is $20. And if you buy two or more, it'd be $35 for two. That's only through May 31st. After that, it goes up to $25. So please, buy them now. You know, we can't help it. Everything costs a lot, and we can't help it. All right, does anybody have any question? I'm only 5 minutes over our usual time. John.
What did it take this gentleman, this knowledgeable of colleges as he is, so long to realize about Bob Gilman?
Well, you're asking me to give an opinion as to something that he had not stated, and I think I can. My opinion is, in the past year, they had three new evangelicals there. I said, who are they? He named them. I recognized their names. At least two of them, I'm sure I recognized their names. Definitely new evangelical types there. Probably the reason is because, you know, everybody that goes to Bob Jones is taught to love their school with great, 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 undying, unwavering devotion, right, Pastor Brooks? And if they're not exposed to me, they're probably going to have that kind of undying devotion. And I'd say that that's what he had. Here's a man who's very, very strong on the King James. It probably takes a long time for a guy to make a decision like that. He said to me on Friday night, he says, my recommendation for Bob Jones is to dissolve the whole college, you know, and start over again with 500 and take a King James position. You know, I other than that, I don't know. But he saw some things. He thought there were some lowering of other standards and things like that. And I went through any number of things that I don't like about the school, and he kind of listened, you know, and so forth. And there's a big difference between a guy like that and myself when it comes to this matter of what coming into the local church can do. You know, they'll put up with a Bob Jones guy who is a little bit critical along the way, you know, a little bit of infighting. But when a guy from the outside is not Bob Jones is critical of it, then everybody comes down and boom, he is gone. But now I assume that he's blackballed from Bob Jones because he's taken a position on the issues. Probably not because he didn't love the school, but because of the issues that are very important to him. Does that answer your question? And not completely, I guess. You'd really have to try to probe his mind a little bit more. Hiles too, right? Yeah. You know, a real good question to try to answer that question would be to ask him when he came to a strong position on the received text in the King James Version. You might ask Chet that. Maybe Chet would know the answer to that. That would be, you know, that would be an important thing. If that was only in recent years, you know, then he might see some of those things, you know. I just have a feeling their love and their loyalty does blind them to many things for a long time. It's like Charlie Bird told me in the dormitory, over the door, it said, no complaining. Which is nice, you know. I mean, I wish we didn't have a lot of complaining, but, you know, they just engender loyalty. They tell about how great they... I used to get this Faith for the Family magazine, a beautiful magazine they put out, really well done, for years. I don't know how many years they did that. And every time I got it, I read the articles, I'd also want to see what the message from the president. And as I remember, every message from the president was saying how great Bob Jones was. And so I suspected that that was done continually so that everybody just knew that, you know? And I think this gets in people. I don't think he was entirely objective about the other colleges. That remains to be seen. Anybody else? I'm only 10 minutes over time now. Yes? So whose wedding are you going to? He wouldn't answer that. What could it mean if he didn't answer that? Yeah, go ahead, Dan. Excuse me for... I would say the reason for that was probably because Dr. Jasmine was not associated with the school in Maryland when it was time for his son to go to college. That would be my guess.
So did his son go to Bob Jones?
Yes. And I talked with his son for quite some time. And I went through a whole bunch of things, John. You've heard them all. I went through a whole bunch of things with his son and said, this is what I think of that college. He says, yeah, I agree with you. He says, I completely agree with you. That's what his son said.
So Maryland has been in existence for
30-something
years?
I don't know. I haven't read the material yet. I haven't read the material yet on that. But Dr. Jasmine, I don't think, has been there too terribly many years. That's my impression.
Well,
I would think you could, if you want to be a missionary, that would be a good place to go. Whether they had a missions program per se, you know. Learn the Word of God, learn how to preach the Word of God, go out and try to win souls, and you'll learn how to be a missionary, you know. I don't know what all else there is to it. Unless they teach you a language, and I don't know that they do that. Anything else? About to close up here. Okay. We're done. These are up here, and young people who are on the yearbook staff, please pass them out. You come up and pass them out. Pastor Brooks, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We know, Lord, that you teach us the local church, the pillar of the truth, the doctrines given to us in the New Testament are given to the local churches, that we might earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, that, Lord, we might fight the good fight in our generation against the forces of compromise, of softening, and of outright blasphemy that will always be attacking the Church of God. Lord, help us to have our loyalty upon Thee, and upon the institution which Thou hast ordained, and upon the man of God You have given us, because You commanded us to be obedient to Him, because He watches for our souls. Lord, the colleges don't, but our pastor does. I pray, Lord, that where there be perhaps rebellion, where people would want to prove Him wrong, that they would ask that He forgive them, knowing that You will bless their obedience to Your word. We thank You for this evening. Help us to remember these things. We have the benefit of others by telling them what we've heard in Jesus' name. Amen.